It's all right. Let's pray. Oh God, let the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our God and the one who saves us. Amen. I absolutely love the book of Jonah. It's one of the funniest and saddest and frustratingest stories in the Old Testament. This story of the more than reluctant prophet is filled with absurdities, and it demonstrates to us the advantages of hearing God's call and the disadvantages of ignoring God's call. The text for this Sunday is just a little more than halfway through this short story. In it, we find Jonah angry with God, having already paid a price for his disobedience. This is also, as is our gospel lesson, the story of God calling people into God's service and the circumstances under which those people, just like us, sometimes obey and sometimes have a harder time dispensing the word of God's love. So to Jonah, and then the disciples, and then us. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, a city big enough that it would take 3 days to walk across. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, a country often at war with Israel and one of its greatest enemies. So naturally, Jonah was not enthusiastic about bringing God's message of repentance to them. The broad strokes of Jonah's story are kind of hard to ignore. They're the stuff of legend. After God called Jonah the first time, he fled in an opposite direction to flee away from God's call. He got on a boat. The boat hit a storm, and Jonah confessed to the captain that the storm was probably because of him, because he was running from God's call to him. So they threw Jonah overboard. Swallowed by a big fish, he was puked out a few days later and finally agreed with God that he'd go to Nineveh. When he got to Nineveh, that great city, 3 days' walk across, he walked, instead of walking through the city, he walked only one day into the city and said, 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed. In his shock and probably horror, the people who heard him believed that little tiny message, put on sackcloth and ashes as signs of repentance, and proclaimed a fast. Word reached the king, who also immediately called a fast and repented, asked God to change God's mind about the coming destruction of Nineveh. God, much to Jonah's disappointment and frustration, changed God's mind. Jonah got very angry with God, saying, "Isn't this what I said when I was still in my own country? I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and swift to repent from punishing." Then basically Jonah said to God, "Just let me die now." The book of Jonah is worth a read. Jonah's humanity and his frustration with God make a great story. And of course, in the end, the city is saved. Jonah is mad, and God gives Jonah another lecture. In contrast, we have the disciple story in Mark. After John the Baptizer was imprisoned by King Herod, Jesus started going around and preaching that the kingdom of God had come near. As he passed the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon Peter and his brother Andrew fishing. He called them with the famous saying, "Follow me, and you will fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed. As they walked a little farther, Jesus saw James and John, brothers who were mending their nets, working with their dad. Again, Jesus called them to follow him. And again, immediately, they left their nets and followed. Mark uses the word immediately more than any of the other disciples, and nowhere is it as clear here as here in the calling of the first disciples. Immediately, all four of the men left their fishing and followed Jesus. For what it's worth, I know several of you who might or might not immediately leave fishing for such a good reason. They probably didn't know what fish for people was going to mean. And we don't get a hint from Mark about how compelling Jesus must have been for them to simply leave everything and follow him. All we know is that they heard Jesus' call to fish for people, and they answered Jesus' call. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep the streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare composed poetry. He should sweep the streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, 'Here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well.'" The important thing is that whatever your vocation, wherever your vocation takes you, make sure you follow your dreams. Those are wise words by Dr. Martin Luther King. God's voice calls us into the very mundaneness of life by pointing out to us skills, interests, things that satisfy or challenge us, and says to us, "Use this in your life for the kingdom." God calls to us from the world's needs. Go and speak peace. Feed the hungry. Welcome the stranger. Love your neighbors. God calls us with the unexpected. Be my hands and feet in the world. The kingdom of God is here. Your hands and feet, you represent that kingdom with our lives. You have, in one way or another, heard Jesus' call. Your work or your education, your vocation, your hobbies, your family, your life situation, the things you love and care about point to where God is calling you. Like Dr. King's quote, God starts to call us from the fullness of who and what we are and asks that we point to Jesus. Like the disciples, God starts that call and then leads us from there to make a difference in the world, in our communities, in our families. I will say more about this on February 28th, my last day with you. But it's been a part of my life's call to serve among you for a little more than 8 years. You've been a blessing and a treasure to me, not only to me, but to all the staff who serve and lead you. You are a blessing to the world. My call here in 2012 was a surprise and a delightful fulfillment of a dream I had from the first time I was with you. It will be hard to leave, but it is time for me to take some time to mend my body and my brain after my fall in September. God is calling me away. As certainly as I am sure of that, I am sure that God is calling you, each of you, and all of you into God's future for you. It won't necessarily be what you expect. Jonah, Peter, Andrew, James, and John are all examples of that, but it will be good. I'd like to end today with a great prayer for times of change. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.